coming up on Patriots This Week.
Didn't play very well in the first half, obviously. They did a good job in the second half.
Charles Dickens might call that a tale of two halves, starting with the worst of times.
I'm terrible with time possession, terrible on third down.
But then came the best of times, and a third down run with a first-rate effort.
Brady to the 10, Brady to the 5, takes out a defender.
Unbelievable in his 15th year.
Whatever comes down to win, he'll do.
Wish I wouldn't have got knocked down.
27 second-half points squished the fish, clinching the division. Now the goal is home field for the playoffs, and gangrene is in the way.
We definitely got to bring our A game here on Sunday.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
You could always use another free hat and t-shirt. And that's exactly what the Patriots got with their big win over the Dolphins, securing another AFC's championship. And this team again proves they can win with offense, defense, special teams, all three phases. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. Joining me each and every week as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wiggs?
What up, Zol?
Looking good, looking clean.
That's it.
From a linebacker, Matt Chatham.
What's up, Zol?
Another special teams big play that we're going to talk about to start the show. Jamie Collins high fives a field goal attempt. Arrington scoops. He scores. Gets him 7 on the board early. Gets him rolling. You get the pick by Daron Harmon. Quick 14 points. The start of that first half, why did they kind of settle in, did they, against the Dolphins? And that ended up being a nail-biter there at the end of that second quarter, man.
Well, I mean, you can't take everything away from Miami. If you look back at their history the last several weeks, they played some teams tough early. Their problem's been finishing. I think that manifested itself in the game as well. There were some protection issues early that they cleaned up and had some of the cleanest pockets you'll ever see in the second half. But I'm okay with that. I mean, if you're going to be slow in one of the two halves, especially in such a game-plan-heavy sort of organization, this place likes to see the punches, you know, sort of counterpunch themselves, go back in the halftime, redraw it, and figure it out. And that's kind of how I felt this game went.
Is this the best special teams you've seen this team play, Matt, in a long time?
It just depends on what you mean by special teams.
Well, so big plays, the big play capability.
No, but what I mean, though, is you know, like the kickoff team and kick return team used to be sort of the go-to. You think about, quote-unquote special teams, and you think about kick returns. I mean, that's the glamour play. There are very few of those anymore. So now you're mentioning big plays coming in the field goal units, which is not the place you generally look. You're thinking of touchdowns on punt returns.
You can't even push the middle anymore. Yeah. There's no second-level jumpers and all that.
Exactly. Well, but that's what's impressive about it, because they're finding some little quirks to be able to make plays in that area.
Let's talk about the offense and how they sputtered early. I think it was 13 rushing attempts for only 20 yards early. Now you had the three gives to Shane Vereen to end the half, which didn't go so well as far as situational coaching. And Brady really didn't crank it up with Gronkowski, a target who, did you say he was going to be the difference maker?
Yeah, he was. He actually, I said it. Three catches for 98 yards and a touchdown.
You were slapping it after. Targets, one catch.
Yeah, but I think when you look at the first time they played Miami, what gave the Patriots offense troubles was Miami's ability to get after Brady and put pressure on him. They had 4 sacks. So at times, I think, you know, Matt and I, we talked about this. They kept Gronk in protection early in the game. You know, the running game sputtered a little bit. The offense sputtered a little bit. Brady was off. I don't think it was so much pressure that Miami was putting on him because they didn't have sacks. I think it was just more of, you know, him trying to get on the same page with some of those receivers. Then in the second half, they come out. What do? They put Brady on the center. They run play action with Jonas Gray, who I think has done a tremendous job every time he's gotten some opportunities. And they hit Gronk down the seam.
You hit the nail on the head. If you're having protection issues, he's that next body.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to stay in until you get that shored up. And then once you do, then he releases into the pattern. The hard sell stuff with the back works, and then everything kind of goes from there.
Seems like Josh has gotten really creative with formation and motion. You've seen kind of, I don't want to say he's cockeyed, but you got Gronkowski off the line of scrimmage with Hooman outside him off, and then you see the motion across. It's amazing how much respect they give Hooman with the motion, where everybody kind of gets flow going that way, and Gronk gets the easy free release to the backside.
Well, I think
it's coaching. I mean, they're good schemes defensively and offensively.
Yeah, and if you look at the first play that Gronk caught the seam on the 38, the first play of the second half, they were in that wing, that tray position where Gronkowski was on the football, and it was Wright who was in his hip pocket. And what they do, they come. That's a good running formation for them where they run that little stretch play there. And what they do is they come out and run play action. Gronk and Wright are able to get off clean releases, and they're able to get down the seams. And to me, Brady really sells the play action. I think, to me, when he's under center, he does a great job of selling play action. And I think defensively, when Brady's under center, it's a different play action look versus him being in shock.
All right, you look at what they've done defensively, and whether it's, you know, it's taking Revis and locking him up. I thought they mixed things up pretty well. But Unusual to have Malcolm Butler out there. And Matt, what do you think led to the three corners being on the field early in the game? Well, they gave up the big plays.
Yeah, and it was a difficult week because they made the pregame decision to deactivate Dennard. So you're down one body. So you have to make the hard decision and understand that Kyle Arrington had the great return, but then also tweaks a hamstring later. So you're a little thin at that cornerback position. So I understand there was a little bit of consternation about should Butler have been on Wallace in some of those vertical situations, but you have to think about what the alternative would be. Now, I understand putting him on him, maybe not having safety help might have been an issue because Malcolm has been extremely competitive all year on the intermediate stuff. We hadn't seen him with the straight line speed, so that's a different look.
It's just odd to see him on an island against guys like Mike Wallace.
Yeah, but I guess but my point would be, okay, well, then who would you slide him to? If you're going to go put Revis on him, Jarvis Landry's an unusual matchup for Browner, Hartline's an absolute just mechanic. He goes in and is very attentive with his route running, so maybe that's not the best matchup either. It makes sense to me to put him over there, but maybe over there without safety help, that's probably where they missed out.
Big thing, too, the defense has given up one touchdown in the last five games, talking about the second half. What is it, Matt, about, is it second half adjustments at halftime, or is it just, you know, we've seen enough of five series, now we kind of figure out what the offense is doing?
Matt Patricia has gotten a lot of grief for somehow being, you know, like a yes man to Bill or something, a guy that didn't have experience. I look at what he's done with this defense this year as one of the most undersold stories of why they've been as good as they've been. There is no one core philosophy that dominates it. They do different stuff every week. There is no Revis always has to do this, or Browner always has to do this, or McCourty always has to do this. They're flexible. They've found different ways to be different teams each and every week. If you're game planning against them, I'm saying if you're coming in and playing the Patriots, you should have no idea what's about to happen to you, and I think that's important. They have a lot of versatile pieces, and the thing you need is if you have chess pieces like that, you need a guy that knows how to manipulate them. Matt Patricia has been calling excellent games this second half of the season.
Wiggy, can you say that and, you know, flip it and say the same thing about the offense? Because now all of a sudden we've seen Jonas Gray again, 11 carries, 62 yards, nice little average there. People want to see more of this guy, but you didn't see him for like 3 weeks. Is it their ability just to do what they want to do on offense too?
Well, I think it's their ability to do what they want on offense, and I think a lot of the Jonas Gray is my opinion is that he's starting to make his way out of the doghouse. Let's call it like it is, because I don't think, you know, you look at the game that he had against the Colts and then you bring in LeGarrette Blount, okay? To me, he was your lead back at that time, Jonas Gray, and I know we know LeGarrette Blount, but Gray had proven he could run the style of run that you wanted out of that style of back.
It's unfortunate we don't get to see what this team would be like, the way they're clicking now with Steven and Jonas and LeGarrette as a short yardage
opportunity. Chandler back this past week. I mean, Chandler, we didn't know what we were going to expect from him, and he looked great.
They're getting bodies back. But again, that sort of, to me, blows out of the water this whole Bill's a good coach, not a great GM thing. The reason they're where they are is because he has stocked this roster and does an exceptional job of making sure the right people are in here throughout the season.
What'd you make of Brady's run?
I tell you what, it all looked good until the ending. I know you want to lower your shoulder, Tom, but if you got to lower your shoulder, you can't get knocked out.
Yeah. I'll take that over Matthew Stafford sliding.
Yeah,
the sticks.
I understand. Yeah. But I mean, if I'm Brady's teammate, I'm going to be, you know, busting his chops a little bit. Hey, nice run. You broke his ankles, but come on, Tom, don't get knocked out. You know?
Serious point though. Like, I've been talking about this for weeks, and we have as well, a little off air. It's there, and it's not because you want Tom to run or Tom to be, you know, Michael Vick or anything like that. But if he does that once again, just to keep him honest, because you watch,
gotta keep one guy back.
You just keep those linebackers honest from not sagging to 12 and 15 yards. If they know that we can't put 15 yards of space between myself and you as a rat, and it has to be 7 to 8, you know, then he can close the distance and it's not there. Do it once a game.
All right, guys, good stuff. Hold that thought right there, because coming up next, got to talk about Johnny Football and the Packers got beat. That's all next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots, and Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week's Player Spotlight is on Patrick Chung. The 5'11", 210-pounder has started 13 games in his second go-round with the Patriots, tightening up the secondary and toughening up the defense against the run. The second leading tackler on the team, the Pats' second-round pick in 2009, grabbed his first interception of the year against the Dolphins. And this week, He hosted his first holiday mic party, carrying on a Patriots karaoke tradition. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, Green Bay, if they win their last three games, they control home field throughout. We know what the story is here in New England. Take care of business. You may not have to leave home. Yeah. They go into Buffalo. Mm. And I don't want to say they laid an egg, but I had some questions about Green Bay when we were out there.
They laid an egg.
That's a good football team.
You can say. They laid an egg.
And we're going to see Buffalo next week to finish things up. But how big of a loss is that for the Packers, Wiggy, given the fact that Seattle seems to be cranking it up? And
It's a big loss for them. Not only that, the fact that Seattle's cranking it up.
Head-to-head.
Now they have to play Detroit the last game of the season, where that game ultimately is going to determine who wins that division. I know that, but it puts them in that position So you look at Green Bay, you know Arizona's going to sputter because of their issues at quarterback. And to me, you go there and you lose this game. I mean, granted, Buffalo was a pretty decent team, but that's a game that I would expect Green Bay to win.
Not just that they lost, it's how they lost. Yep. And they couldn't score, which is a little out of character. We have a ton of respect around here for the Buffalo defense. We know it's good, but no offensive touchdowns. Yep. That's your egg scenario.
What'd you make of Johnny Football, man?
You know what? That was the sucker bet of the year. People were all fired up on Johnny, and the line kept
sneaking. I don't want to evaluate
up.
A whole career on one
no.
game.
Should not.
To be fair to him.
But listen, I understand getting excited about all that stuff, especially when he had a couple good series, I believe, against Buffalo, where you come in the game, but it's two-minute drives, it's boot plays that the other team hasn't prepared for, it's dash, it's all this movement stuff. All you do is go watch a little film during the week, you tell your defensive ends to be aware, get to the field, not allowed to happen, and then what else you got?
Johnny Football will be Tim Tebow. He'll be out of the league in 4 years. I just watching him.
SEC Network also?
Yeah, SEC Network.
A&M guy?
I don't think he has the patience or the mental capacity to say, let me go from my first read to my second read to my third read, and then if I don't have nothing, use my legs.
One of the scariest things, he's admitted publicly that he hasn't worked as hard as he should to up to this point, that he could have been doing more, and that is usually the thing that changes these. The one thing that makes you say, maybe you're right, Wiggy, is like his work ethic and sort of that sense of entitlement. That's not a good combination when you're not of tradition.
Terrence Pot Roast. Knighton says, we're going to win the whole darn thing. We're going to hoist it. Don't care if you play here, play New England. Mm-hmm. How much does Bill circle that, highlight that, and put that in his drawer?
Well, in the drawer. It goes in the drawer. It doesn't go down. Well, even Corey Graham from the Bills is putting it out there as well. A couple guys are saying the Bills are, you know, there needs to be a change in the division. Pal, they just clinched the division. What are you talking about?
Belichick has opened up that bottom drawer. He's put that away. He shut that drawer. And he said, okay, if we got Denver here in the AFC Championship, put this out, guys.
Nice.
Here's what he's got. First, he's going to say, here's what Pork Chop said. Is that what they call him?
Hot roast.
No, but that's how Bill's going to do it.
He's
going he's going to go, here's what that guy Pork Chop said.
My face.
He knows exactly
he's
what
play
it is.
Smart.
Here's what the Pork Chop guy's saying. All right, boys.
Hey, Meatloaf said the egg.
Exactly. He's going to know. He's going to know exactly what his nickname is going to call
Meatloaf. Speaking of Meatloaf, it smells like the swamps of New Jersey. We've got to talk about the New York Jets and possibly Rex Ryan's last game against Bill Belichick as head coach of the Jets. That's next. All right, the New York Jets, that's who we're playing this week. And obviously, you got Tom Brady on the field. What's the number one way to keep the ball away from Tom Brady? Have the ability to run the football. And that's what the New York Jets do have. Right here, Chris Johnson, Geno Smith. This is that little tuck formation right here. Watch his ability to get back outside. Now, we've talked about open field tackling for this Patriots football team. Much better this year, talking about open spaces. Chris Johnson, real dangerous running back. Now, freeze it right there. What you see right here, closing down the ends. We call that setting the edge, squeezing things inside. Where the Patriots have been really good is whether it's Dante Hightower or whether it's been Jamie Collins with Hightower being out. The ability to shed that block, go ahead and continue this up, and then get to the running back. So set the edge with guys like Chandler Jones, Ninkovich. Rotate your guys with Will Fork, Chris Jones, Silver Salinga. And right here, you always got to be ready for the unknown. Little shovel pass. You know what that is? Easy completion for Geno Smith. That guy threw the ball 8 total times first half against Miami. They're going to run the ball. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back here to the show inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And my good buddy, Mike Reese from ESPN Boston, pointed out that going back to week two, the New York Jets had a 21-3 lead on the Green Bay Packers, and they were sitting in that game, going into that game 1-0, and then they have lost eight straight. Mile, things have changed. Start with you, Wiggy. You look at this team. I mean, at times they play hard. They play really hard. And they got a lot of number one picks up front in that defensive front seven. Is this one of those games where Rex is looking at it and saying, hey, don't look at the last 4 weeks of film. We're going to throw the kitchen sink at these guys.
Well, I think he's going to say, we're going to throw everything we got. We're going to try to come away with a win. But the problem is going to be that I feel like has been the Jets' Achilles heel all year long is the quarterback. That's the issue with them is the quarterback play. To me, how is Geno Smith going to play? Is he going to have four turnovers in the first half? But you know Rex is going to come out there and say, hey, guys, this is it. This is our last game at home. It's against the Patriots. Let's go out there. Let's throw everything at them.
We know how difficult it is to win in that New York environment. You're sort of second sister with the Giants there in town. But Rex's record over the course of his career there, better than Pete Carroll, better than Al Groh, better than Herm Edwards, better than Mangini, better than all these guys. The only guy who has a higher winning percentage in the new era with the Jets is Parcells, and it's a 60% versus a 53. Yeah. It's not night and day. He's been competitive, but his downfall has been he hasn't been able to develop or draft the right quarterback. But the point is there are people there. They've got some running backs that are decent. The offensive line's a little beat up, and they don't have someone to get them the ball. And that's been a problem. And again, it's not a Rex issue. It's a professional football league, in the NFL football league issue. If you don't have that guy, you're going to be gone eventually.
Yep. Wiggy, they have two backs, you know, Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson, both have rushed for over 600 yards each. Can they keep the ball away from Tom Brady? I mean, but because you got to make the throws on third down.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. I don't think they can. Because if you're the Patriots, what are you going to do? Bill does a great job of making teams one-dimensional. So what's he going to do? Say, all right, where's their strength offensively? Probably running the football. We're going to make the Jets throw the football. And to me, that's where I think the problem's going to be. I don't think Geno Smith is the guy, especially now with the way the Patriots defense is playing against that pass. They're going to, I just think that they'll take away the run and they're going to put it in Geno's hands. And defensively, like we've talked about, Matt Patricia, who's done a tremendous job of changing things up with this defense. You know, you get guys lining up, dropping out. I've seen Ninkovich doing all types of crazy stuff. To me, that's where I think they'll struggle.
There are throws he makes pretty well. The quick comebacks where there's not a lot of read to it. His accuracy on the outside of the field is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a situation where they're going to watch the routes that he does well, take those routes away. Maybe not people this week. It's not a personnel person, it's the kind of plays that he does well.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, our game changer and our predictions when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. New ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
Expect Fred Jackson to have a big day in Oakland. The Bills running back has put up solid numbers after returning from injury, and Jackson should gash that Raider defense. But keep Reggie Wayne on your bench this week. The Colts wideout is averaging less than 6 yards a catch over the past 4 weeks, and it will not get any easier in Dallas this week. This week's sleeper pick is Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. Alex Smith has been going to his tight end, who has 12 catches the last 2 weeks. Kelce should produce in Pittsburgh on Sunday. This week's fantasy picks are brought to you by Verizon. Never miss a Patriots game this season with the combined power of NFL Mobile and Fios Quantum TV and Internet. Exclusively from Verizon.
All right, welcome back here to the show. Time for our predictions and our game changer story. Matt Chatham, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to go with Jonas Gray. I'm actually going to, you know, there's been some signs, and Bill had made some comments this week that he's earning new opportunities. I think this is a week that he gets them. Gets the Patriots, though, into a big win at 37-19.
Good stuff, Wiggy.
I like to score a lot. 41-7. I don't think the Jets can score. Patriots are going to blow doors out of this game. My game changer, number 87. Bob Gronkowski.
Shocker. It's like 5 weeks in a row he's
last
picked
week.
Him.
I love you, Gronk.
Hey, I haven't picked a quarterback in a while. I haven't picked a quarterback in a while, guys, so I'm going to take him for my game changer because I think the Jets are just going to throw something exotic at him he hasn't seen, and it's up to Tom Brady to settle everybody down, put the offense in the right position, move the football, and score points. I got the Patriots 27, Jets 9. They don't get in the end zone. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Patriots This Week.
Ball is spotted down a low patch, and it's blocked. And it's scooped up by Kyle Arrington. He's in the clear to the 40. An open road to the 30. Arrington is gone. Goodbye to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.